Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Yes, welcome to the show. It is Friday the 15th of July. Dom Knight here with Chris Taylor. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Charles is doing school holidays this week.
Yeah, look, can Charles do school holidays more often? I've enjoyed this week with you and Ange. I feel that the podcast is sort of finding a rhythm it hasn't had.
And, there's only one
conclusion we can draw from that. The key different factor, and that's the absence of Charles Firth. So, you know, we love Charles. I hope he's having a lovely time. I think he went to Ukraine, didn't he, for his holidays?
Well, you never know until they crop up. This is one of the great things about trips to Ukraine. I was talking to a political reporter a couple of weeks ago, and I was going to ask them on air, is Albo going to Ukraine? Like, surely he is. He's going to Europe, like, inevitably. And I thought, you can't. Don't we all pretend it's not going to happen until someone does? So if Charles crops up in Ukraine next to Volodymyr Zelensky, it'll be like, oh my gosh, Charles went to Ukraine. What a surprise. You can't ask it.
You can't, and you can't tell either. I mean, you give Charles two drinks and I'm sure he'd tell you. But yeah, it's sort of really interesting that the secrecy required, I guess, because, you know, the security stakes are huge. So I, for one, am incredibly grateful that we've got someone on the case repairing the damage of every relationship that the previous government broke. But yeah, I assume that there's always two certainties. One, he'll call in on the regular troops. You know, where are they now? Afghanistan? Or they're surely not in Afghanistan.
We left there a while back.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
that be funny if he still dropped in? Like, he didn't get the memo that we'd
imagine
withdrawn.
Imagine the awkwardness of that. It turns up in Kandahar, it's like, oh, shit.
Where's the photo op? Oh, they've all gone. What?
Oh. But no, and the thing was as well, I remember thinking, surely Vladimir Putin doesn't really give a shit about assassinating Albo. Like, this is not going to be a big priority. And then I was like, oh, no, it's Zelensky. Because Zelensky will be next to him and he definitely wants to kill Zelensky.
That's what I think
Imagine being the crossfire in that. That would give Albo a bigger place in history he would have otherwise deserved, I suspect.
I think Albo was almost angling for that. Like, you know, still not completely confident in the job, still a bit surprised he even won the election. Just thought, oh, I could guarantee my place in history. Like, to be more than just the answer to a pub trivia question. If I go out in a really spectacular way. So, boys, book me a trip. I want to stand next to Zelensky. And I'm happy, you know, I don't care if you tell people. You can follow protocols if you want. I don't mind if you don't. I'm relaxed about it. And I reckon we should meet in a really outdoor area. Like, I just, you know,
fresco.
COVID's still a thing. I don't want to be indoors. So let's just go really outdoors with Zelensky. And book me in for a week.
The only world leader to go there twice, Chris, if I'm not mistaken, is Boris Johnson.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering at what point does Vladimir go, actually, mate, no, don't worry, don't bother, don't come back. Because he's still PM for a few months.
Right.
Surely he's going to try and get the trifecta of visits there.
Because
I think I was watching his press conference when he resigned, and part of me reckons that he can still, I'm thinking that somewhere in the back of his mind, you can see he reckons he can turn it around.
It's always kind of a surprise to see, you know, with Bojo, a bit like Trump, you're not quite sure who he'd support in that war.
Like, it's
like
true.
Trump, you'd kind of back to support Putin. Just, you know,
100%.
Strong man to strong man. But Boris Johnson, you'd kind of think would, you know, cut from the same cloth as Trump in many ways. When I saw him side by side with Zelensky, I'd go, oh, you're on that team. Oh, good for you. Yeah, no, that's good. there's one thing. And it was the thing he kept hammering home, like in these dying days, when the writing was on the wall, where everyone could see that he was a goner except him. And it was that thing where, you know, when you've only sort of done one good thing, you keep hammering that home.
Yes.
It was sort of like Turnbull when he was knifed and everyone kept saying, oh, what's your legacy? And he just had same-sex marriage plebiscite. That was sort of the only thing he could name.
Kind of done despite him in some ways,
totally.
As much as he supported it, but and it was such a torturous and horrible way of doing it.
Johnson couldn't say COVID because he'd made a balls up of that. Brexit was starting to bite him on the arse and be turned into a disaster that even he recognised. So the one thing he kept falling back on, as a not just as something he achieved, but as a reason to keep him there, goes, oh, only I am really supporting the Ukrainian situation.
He was out in front of that, but I guess he was used to people getting constant bombardment. This is what it's been like. I still can't believe 50 ministers resign before he quit. How does he even have 50 ministers? It's crazy.
In what Western government system do people have that much accountability anymore? Like, we should have had 50 ministers resign under ScoMo, but, you know, no one fell on their sword. I guess these weren't falling on swords so much as, you know,
they were just tweeting a terse letter. This is the thing I love about UK politics.
Passive aggressive. I will resign because it hopefully makes you resign.
I just feel that for the good of the country, I can't die. I can't put up with this anymore. The standards of good governance. And last week, they were mates. And my favourite was the new Chancellor of the Exchequer, whose name escapes me, the new Treasurer. He'd signed up for the gig a day earlier.
Yeah.
A day earlier, yeah. Chris. He'd said, yep, I'll be the new topic economic minister, whatever it is. And a day after that, I couldn't possibly do it. But this is a disaster. The man has no integrity.
They wouldn't have even put the plaque up on his door. Like, I don't think he even would have got his login for the computer in the department. That's how short he was there. Was it the BBC? One of them did the almost like the honour roll of all the people who'd resigned that day. And it was 50, as you said.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did it to the tune of
resigned. Yeah,
they did it to Bittersweet Symphony, the Verve song. And I'm going 50, and that's not all of them. That's like still only half of them. How big is their ministry? I know it's a massive country, but it always looks so squashed when you see footage of UK Parliament.
They're in the smallest building in the world. It's the least COVID-safe room in the world.
Half of them are the size of Boris Johnson, so they're all squeezed into their suits sitting there, and they keep adding ministries. No wonder, I reckon they were only resigning just to create a bit more leg room and some seat room in the bloody House of Lords or the House of Commons.
No, it really was quite... everyone gets a prize of a ministry, it seemed like. But no, I think there's something like 150 or 200 people actually in the Tories. It's a massive parliament.
Yeah.
Can't imagine what they'll do. Anyway, look, I kind of miss Boris a bit, in a way. As inept as he seems, as hopeless as he seems to have been. I mean, he somehow had the most lockdowns and the most deaths during COVID, which is an extraordinary achievement.
But and he led from the front. He almost died himself. Do you remember?
He was actually
in ICU, I think, wasn't he?
Briefly? Oh, absolutely he was. No, he very nearly died.
Do you reckon part of him is regretting he didn't go then?
It would have been a good way to go out.
It would have gone with more dignity than his final exit.
it's quite amazing to think that this is a man who managed to survive getting busted for having a party on the eve of Prince Philip's funeral at number 10 during lockdown. I mean, anyone else in the world except maybe Donald Trump would have been toast at that point.
It was extraordinary how he rode that out. Because, that's the thing. Like, I think all of us who observed it just thought he was toast, during Partygate. And then in the end, he kind of weathered that storm. And it was the giving the promotion to the guy who had allegedly groped a couple of people years ago.
Yes. And I think it wasn't just that, but the rumour during the rounds was that he'd said, and the guy, the MP's name was Pincher.
Pincher, yes.
Pincher by name. Pincher
beautiful.
By nature.
What do they call that? Think, nominative determinism?
Yes, I think at the point where that pun was during the rounds, you just kind of go, okay, look, I think this is the point where it's too undignified for him to remain Prime Minister. Like the joking about the molester.
Yeah, it's like an Evelyn Waugh novel. You know, like those novels where they, or PJ Woodhouse, where they give the person a surname that actually sums up their characteristics.
Stinky or something or whatever it is. Or
Pincher. Oh, terribly shocking news. What's that? Pincher turns out to be a molester. Well, I never saw that coming.
Hey, it's a pinch. Everybody's bottoms back at college.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
None of the medical advice contained in the Chaser Report should legally be considered medical advice. The Chaser Report.
When you say you miss him, do you mean just because it's sort of fun to have a clown overseas to make us feel less bad about our own?
Amazingly ridiculous, really. And the image that will endure of him is that amazing moment when he was the mayor of London. London's hosting the Olympics. And he ziplines in to open an event. And he had the helmet on, the crash helmet, and he gets stuck in the middle of the zip line and just sways backwards and forwards.
When I saw that
stupid flag,
I said, there's a statesman. There's future PM material.
Yes, from a comedic perspective, we'll miss Boris Johnson. It's a bit of a weird thing. It is hard to know how you recover from these great comic figures of politics. I mean, Donald Trump was such a gift. Boris Johnson, Tony Abbott was a huge gift. Mm. Him going from Abbott to Turnbull was a real come down for political comedians. And then ScoMo, fortunately, gave us some fairly vintage years there of doing satire. I mean, Albo, this is not going to be a golden period of satire. It's just going to be a little bit dull and tepid, isn't it?
Well, I've noticed this organisation included, The Chaser. It's, you know, they're still sort of feeling their way. And all those people who sort of made Twitter careers out of, you know, creating ScoMo hashtags and just dumping on ScoMo every day. Not without cause, I should say, but it became a bit broken record-y. They've all gone very quiet, haven't they? The sort of people whose brand was to do something.
Like, there'll be a rumour that he wants to join the board of the rugby league or something, which did the rounds this week.
I know.
Which is pretty amusing. And then everyone will go, oh, we can write a ScoMo topical headline again.
Yeah.
He's back.
Now, it's sort of interesting. I mean, you know, without naming names, there was always a discussion amongst people who do the kind of things we do for a living, topical comedy. And there was always, when you've got a conservative government in for as long as the Abbott, Turnbull, Morrison years were, you always get these people to say, oh, why don't you ever make fun of, you know, Labour or the left wing? And you go, well, because they're not in power. You go where the power is. That's where the stronger material is. That's where the satirist role is. And now that it's changed, I'm sure a lot of those people are going, oh, they're still sort of feeling out where the jokes are with Albo. Because, look, I mean, this will sound incredibly partisan, and I don't mean it to be partisan, but I actually think they've had an incredibly good honeymoon, Albo. I actually think it's just been like you could breathe again. You remember when Trump was in power? Mm. And you woke up every day and you sort of reach for your phone and go, oh, what's he done overnight? And it was
every morning, yes, literally the first thing.
And it was kind of like that on a much less horrendous scale with the Morrison government. Mm. Like the levels of corruption or alleged corruption and the lack of accountability and just the blame shifting and all of that, it just sort of made you cringe. And it's just been nice to wake up and not feel that. I'm not saying Albanese's a saint and that this government's... I've got great confidence that the Labor government will prove to be a great disappointment. No,
give them a year or two.
but for the last two or three weeks, they've kind of just been... Like the Bernard Collery, just dropping the prosecution on him is just, oh, thank God that we're no longer playing political games with that. And it just... good sort of common sense decisions. And I guess you can always do that in the honeymoon period. Like, you've got your mandate. Mm. You can kind of, you know, undo all the worst excesses of your predecessors. Yeah, so then I assume the satirists and stuff will, you know, will certainly have enough to go on with. It's telling, is it not, that Sean McAuliffe decided to retire his show.
Oh. You're no longer mad as hell. Yeah.
We got no Albo jokes. I don't think that's the reason at all. And
I mean, really, by ABC comedy standards.
And Sean said he's...
five lives.
He's just longer turned, than most. He's turned 60 and... please, don't let anyone think I genuinely think it's because they can't make fun of the new government. But I'm glad I'm not in the game at the moment because it's sort of when a government doesn't give you the shits, it is harder to do what we do for a living. But
another one that comes to mind, Chris, is the Nada Salingham family, the Bill O'Eila family.
Oh, yeah.
Just had for so many years been used as a football. It's like, oh, let them go. I mean...
And how easy was it in the end? Like, that could have been a phone call Alex Hawke could have made 1,000 times before. There were no votes in treating them the way the coalition did. I honestly don't think even bigots really cared about that family.
No, even Barnaby Joyce was against it. And look, I don't want to shit on Bill O'Eila. I haven't been there. But having looked at some of the photos, there aren't a huge number of people who are keen to go back to Bill. Chris, it's not a popular destination.
There's a lot of local Bill O'Eila people looking at Christmas Island going, oh, they've got it easy.
The guy worked in abattoir in Bill O'Eila. Let him do it. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, we need thousands more people who are willing to do that kind of thing. No, but it is a good point. I have enormous faith in Labor as an organisation to get to the point. Do you remember... with the New South Wales Labor Party, 16 years into the government there, in the state here in New South Wales, the point where every single week there was a minister resigning because of some sort of horrible sex scandal. There was massive corruption. There was
one pedophilia. One of them was a pedophile.
Milton Okopoulos.
I mean, that was...
So give Labor
say
time,
what you like I'm about sure Angus we'll Taylor, but I don't think he ever molested a child. Yeah, like Labor.
That's
Labor,
what we know. But yes, but they are shiny new. And the bizarre thing about this government is how easy it's been to sort a few things out. Yeah. How it took Penny Wong a week to fix the Pacific. It seems to basically get China to go easy. She was there less than a week before. She'd sort of humiliated the Chinese foreign minister and won the argument, as far as I can tell.
Which makes you ask the question, was it incompetence of the previous mob that, you know, they were just genuinely bad at the job of governing, or was it sort of more ideological and misplaced ideology? Like, certainly I think with Bernard Collery and Witness K, that was ideological. They just had a vindictive desire to...
At the point where you're on the side of bugging East Timor, that's just not a good position to be. This is,
as I said, just a huge exhalation of relief to just see a government quite simply and fairly to say, oh, no, this nonsense has to stop. We're not going to score cheap political points off this stuff anymore.
And, I mean, thank God we're not really doing satirical TV shows anymore. We're not really doing that scale satire. And thank goodness, Chris, that in a couple of years' time, Donald Trump's going to come back in to give us something to talk about.
Yes.
Well, Chris, thank you for cameoing on the podcast this week. It's been delightful. Look,
anytime Charles is giving you the shits or annoying you or pretending he's on holiday, it's my pleasure to drop by with you, Dom.
Happy ears from Rode Microphones. We're part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll catch you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.